Bible. If you do, I want you to turn to the book of Mark. Mark's a good place to go. And I'm not going to be in your... I'm not going to be here when you miss very long, but Mark chapter 4. I think somewhere around verse 35. Are you there with me today? You know, I'm going to tell you, man, I was in a sad situation the other night. I had to minister in a funeral of a 22-year-old young man that was just taken like that, killed in an automobile accident. Could be other things surrounding that. I mean, as far as his health or something happened, I don't know all the really even the details of all that. I don't think they've all gotten back yet. But right in the town of Wise, young man by the name of Anthony Robinette. Anybody ever know Anthony Robinette? He's ever heard of him. Well, I have. He came through the sixth grade one time. And I did. And there's a family today that's broken and disheartened because of the pain of this loss today. How many knows that situations like that are hard? Can somebody be real mean today? I got a request for you. I got a request for you. My request is that you be real with me and I'll be real with you. Okay? And I'm a teacher. And engaging is what I do. And then that means I ask people to raise their hands. I may ask people to say things or whatever. But we don't do that to make... We're not... If you're here for the first time, you say, oh no, please don't come here. We're not going to do that. But I would say this morning that God has a plan for what he is about to do today. And he knew everybody that would be here in this room. I believe that. 100% I believe that. So this morning, if you have your Bible and you're in the book of Mark, I want you to look at verse 35 with me, okay? If you're there, say amen. If you want to stand with the reading of God's word, that's fine. If you're not able physically to do that, then don't worry about that. We don't want to get all religious, okay? Just if you can. Verse 35, chapter 4. On the same day when evening had come, he said to them, speaking of his disciples, let's cross over to the other side. Let's go over to the other side, Jesus told his disciples. How many knows that God has a plan? That plan is about your future, but it's about getting you somewhere. God has a plan to get you somewhere. Amen? He really does. He said, let's cross over to the other side. And he was speaking of the lake or the Sea of Galilee. Okay? Now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm. If you know anything about the Sea of Galilee, huge windstorms, violent storms can rise up real quickly in this part of the world. Because it's a very deep lake. But it wasn't anything uncommon for very huge storms to arise in the middle of this lake. But you got to understand, most of the men that were with Jesus here, as they were passing on the other side, they were seasoned sailors and fishermen. They knew the way of the sea. And they knew about the Sea of Galilee. Because many of them lived here in this vicinity. But yet there was a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he, speaking of he, Jesus, everybody say Jesus. Jesus was in the boat, but look what Jesus was doing. He was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. The storm's going on everywhere, and Jesus is asleep on the boat. Did you ever feel like that God was asleep on you? Come on, be real with me now, guys. I said you got to be real. You mean if I raise my hand, that's going to make God be mad at me? No, listen, God knows who you are. God knows the thoughts and intents of your mind. He knows what you're thinking. All right, even though you don't tell other people. You know that you have felt alone on the sea in the storm, and you felt like that Jesus had gone to sleep on you. It's sort of like me sometimes ministering, and I don't know how anybody could go to preaching in this room, go to sleep in this room. I'll be honest with you. You must have been up all night if you are. Because, man, I tell you what, how many knows there's nothing boring about God? Amen. Nothing boring about His Word. Amen. Nothing boring about the Lord. Nothing boring about the blind man healer, the leper cleanser. Nothing boring about the one who walked on the water, who raised the dead to life, who healed the leper. Nothing boring about Jesus. Listen, if your God's boring, listen, you must not be serving the Jesus that I know. Nothing boring about Jesus. Okay. Because every day I get up with an exciting new journey. We got challenges, but there's an exciting new journey. So Jesus was on the board this boat too. But he was asleep, laying on a pillow. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not even care that we're perishing? We got this major storm going on, and our boat is in jeopardy, and water's filling in this boat, and you are asleep." Let's be real, okay? These men were being real with Jesus. And so they were concerned. "Don't you care that we're about to perish?" In verse 39. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace." Everybody say peace. Wow. "Peace be still. Peace be still." And the wind, as soon as he said that, and the wind ceased. And there was a great calm. There's a great calm. Some of you here today come looking for something. You didn't even know what you would come looking for. But listen, what you really need and what we all need is the peace of God that Paul said surpasseth all understanding. There's no peace like the presence of Jesus. How many knows that? Even in the midst of your storm, how many knows that there's no peace like the peace that Jesus gives in the midst of our storm? And the wind calmed and it ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said one to another. Man, we've often said this: when God has done something incredible in our life and amazing, everything God does is incredible and amazing. "Who can this be that even the winds and the waves, even the winds and the sea obey him?" You may be seated. Amen. Hallelujah. Let me tell you. There was the presence the other night in that funeral. The presence of the Lord there. And he's what brings peace to our lives. But there was such a need for peace. How many knows that we live in troublesome times? The Apostle Paul even said in Timothy, he said, "In the last day, perilous times shall come." That means dangerous times, challenging times, times that try the souls of men, things that try the souls of men. I was just looking on the news this morning, and already a great earthquake in one of the South American countries. Great devastation. Everywhere you look, you see that there's wars and rumors of wars. There's earthquakes in diverse places. There's famines and pestilence. There's trouble. And everywhere is looking for the same thing. How many knows that we all need peace? Amen. Peace. Listen, not as the world give you. Jesus said, peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, but peace I leave unto you. Peace that will calm your troubled mind. Peace that will calm your storm. Peace in the midst of your storm that will bring a calm and a collectiveness to your troubled mind. Because how many knows that Jesus is the answer to a troubled mind? And there are people here this morning that have troubled minds. You have troubled minds. And I was thinking of this word peace. The meaning of the word peace. And in the Old Testament, there's a definition for peace. And peace is used over 400 times in Scripture. References made to peace. And if God puts something one time in the Word of God, it's important. But if He put it over 400 times, there's got to be something incredible about it. Something that we need to take a hold of from this word peace. We all need it. We strive for it. Men strive for it. Men die for it. Listen, men thrive for it. We all need peace. We all need peace. Well, let me tell you, I get the privilege to tell you, I know where you can find the peace that is beyond your understanding, beyond what you know. I know the peace giver, the peace giver. Do you know Him? Do you know the peace giver? Well, He's here. And the word peace, in the Hebrew word in the Old Testament, we use a word, and it was often used as a greeting. When people came to each other and they greeted each other, they would say the word Yahweh Shalom, which means God give peace to you. Oh, listen, friends, Shalom is a word that means peace. We have His peace. We have His peace, not as the world giveth. There's no peace in this world that we live in. Everywhere you look, there's violence and destruction and chaos. And the Bible says, and I'm not trying to be a prophet of doom. I'm just saying the world, there's no peace to be found in the world. I know there are people that try to sell you peace. There are people that try to sell you peace in a bottle. How many knows that you can't find peace in a bottle? Oh, if I could get me a drink, I would drown all my problems. I would take care of all of my blues. My problems would be gone if I could just find a drink. It would numb my mind. And there are people doing all kinds of things to numb their troubled minds. But there's only one place that I read of in God's Word where you can find lasting peace. And His name is Jesus. Yeshua. He's the King of Peace. He's the Christ. He's the Peace Giver. He's the Peace Walker. And today He's coming to you right in the midst of your storm. He's walking on the water right in the midst of your storm. There's some of you out there tossed to and fro by the sea that's tossing you around. Life is tossing you around. Your problems and struggles are tossing you around. Every day you get up and say, God, I need a sane mind today. I need collective thinking. Well, let me tell you, your storm may be raging and your boat may be in jeopardy, but I know a man who can. I said, I know a man who can. And right in the midst of your storm, right in the midst of your storm, Jesus is coming to you. Right in the midst of your storm, that was another storm that those disciples where Jesus stayed, and He stayed out of the boat. And while the men were in the midst of the sea, there came another violent storm out there. Their lives were fearful And here came Jesus walking on the water. Here came Jesus walking in the middle of the storm. Guess what? Jesus came today walking in the middle of your storm. He's a present help in the time of trouble. He don't leave you when you are in trouble. He's faithful and he'll stay with you, Roy, even until the end of the earth. God's not going to desert you. He's not going to abandon you. He's not going to leave you in the midst of your storm. He come here to tell me to tell you that he come here today to calm your storm. Will you believe that? I said he told me to tell you that he came here to calm your storm. Is it all right if I get a little bit excited? I'm excited because the peacemaker, he's here in our midst and he's walking the aisles and he's been touching. And some of you have been wondering, who is that touching me and elbowing? Listen, that may not be the person in close proximity. Maybe that's the presence of the Holy Ghost nudging you and telling you that God is bringing peace to your troubled waters. We're in the midst of troubled waters. We're in the midst of a storm. Oh, I know if I could find me a drink, I could have peace. You'll have peace and pleasure for a little season. The next morning you got red eye. The next morning your problems are as big as they ever were. Listen, and you're still looking for another drink, still looking for another way to find peace to your problem. You can't find it in a bottle. You can't find it in a pill. How many knows that? There's only one that can give you peace, and his name is Jesus. And he told me to tell you that he come here today to walk in your storm, to calm the troubled sea of your life. Oh, I know God's going to do something. I know it. I know it. I know it. I know it. God's going to do something. Turn to somebody and say, God's going to do something. You know why I know that? Because the preacher's here. The preacher's here. I didn't say me. I said the preacher, the Holy Ghost, the preacher, the presence of God, Jehovah, the Lord God Almighty, is here today. And he wants to calm your raging storm. Oh, if I could only get out of this storm. Lord, if I could only get out of this storm. If I could only get out of this storm. If I could only make it to the other side. If I could only get out of this storm. If I could only get out of this storm. If I could only get out of this storm. I want to make it to the other side. I know the peacemaker, brother. Oh, I'm telling you, man. The Lord is here. Oh, I can't find the peace and the peel. Oh, Lord, my purse grip has gone out. And I can't find the peace. Oh, just give me another fix. Give me another needle. Give me another peel. Give me another this. Give me another woman. Give me another man. Give me this. Give me that. If I could just find that, that's the only thing I lack, having peace. No, the thing you lack is the one called Jesus. He's the one that'll bring peace to your life. He's the one that can walk in the midst of your storm. We're looking for peace in our lives. We're looking for peace in our lives. We're looking for peace in our lives. And you know what? Guess what? I don't want to bust your balloon, but you're looking in the wrong places. I said you're looking in the wrong places. You know what? Our nation is looking in the wrong places for peace. Oh, if we just had this one over us. If we just had this president. If we just had this senator. If we just had this congressman. No, if we just had Jesus. Oh, if we just had Jesus. If we'd all listen. rest under the blood-stained banner of Christ and find the peace that was in His cross. Amen. That's the only place you can find peace. You can't find Him. You can't find Him in the political echelon of this nation. You can't find Him in the political high places of this nation. What we realize that the place we truly find peace is in the presence of the Lord. Amen. Listen, I know God's going to do something here today. Peace. Peace. Peace I give you. You know, the definition, it's like an English word that means, conjures up a passive picture, one showing an absence of civil disturbance or hostilities, or a personality free from internal or external strife. So what do we know today about our peace? What do we know about His peace? You know, I heard Billy Graham say something one time. Whoa, man. How many knows if he says something, it's pretty credible, right? You got to give credit. I mean, the man's, in Jesus' name, has done a few things, right? So, if there's anybody who should know about peace, it should be such a man of faith and a man of constant, a man of consistency in his life. Because he found peace. He found a real peace. He found a real peace. I thought of Sister Betty over there sitting and playing on that keyboard a while ago, just praising the Lord. And several months ago, she was given a diagnosis again of cancer return, this time in her pancreas. How many knows that people really don't make it thrive or make it too often with pancreatic cancer? But yet, over there, throughout her storm, she maintained her consistency in faith. Throughout your storm, you've got to keep trusting the one that can get you through the storm. Don't quit in your storm. Don't bail out. Don't abandon the ship. Stay in the ship, because God's going to get you to the other side. Do you believe that? Surely He's going to get you to the other side. You're going to meet Daddy again. Woo, man. You're going to meet Dad again. And I promise you this, it'll be under total different situation than it is now. So Sister Betty kept her eyes in the midst of her storm on the one who could calm the storm. The one who calmed the storm. The one who could tame and bring her mind to peace and tranquility. So today, I'm thinking around this room here. I'm thinking around this room, people, that the Lord has moved in your heart and life and brought such powerful peace in the midst of your storm. You know what? You're a testimony, because God's brought you through a test. You have a message, because God delivered you from a mess. God's doing something in you. He's doing something in you. You can't figure it all out. You'll never figure it all out. But God's doing something. He's taking you somewhere. He's got a place He wants you to go. And He's not finished with you. Thank God He's not finished. Amen. Oh, just lift your hands and say, God, thank You that You're not finished. You're not finished. He's going to get you to the other side. He's going to get you to the other side. There's some things I want you to remember in the midst of your storm. Oh, storms of great devastation and destruction. As I said earlier, these are dangerous times. These are perilous times. Sudden storms. Storms can come without warning. Most violent storms come without warning. We don't really have. I mean, out in the Midwest, they had these tornadoes that come through, these huge wind storms that level towns and communities. They get a little warning because of sophistication of weather technology, but it always is a surprise when a storm lands up on your doorpost. Amen. I know there are people here this morning, either you've come through a storm, or you're in a storm, or you're going to go through a storm. But how many knows it's important to know what you need to do in the midst of a storm? And most people will tell you, you got to get prepared. How many knows that we need to be prepared? We need to know this God and what He is able to do in our life. God is able. Everybody shout, God is able. I'm not telling you a bunch of fairy tales. I'm telling you from reality. God knows. God can get you through it. God will make a way when there seems to be no way. He's faithful. He's not going to leave you. He's not going to desert you. If there's ever a time that He knows that you need Him, it's right now in the midst of your storm. Oh, a few years ago, Mrs. R and I ended up in the doctor's office at a kidney specialist. This is a storm we didn't anticipate that day, Roy. That doctor said, Mrs. R. Reynolds, I've got some news for you that's not the best of news. But I believe that we can get you some help. He said, the diagnosis was kidney cancer, renal cell carcinoma. Oh, and had a tumor on her kidney. And he says, the kidney's got to come out. But see, that was devastating news. Kathy cried some. She wrung her hands some. We both cried. We both prayed. But listen, through the midst of that storm, God made a way. God made a way. Bree and Clay, the doctor says you've got to go to Nashville, Tennessee. You've got to have that kidney removed. But listen, every step of the way, God was ahead of us. He was preparing the way for us. He was making the way. Even in the registrar's office where we were getting admitted to the admittance office where we was getting admitted, God, the Holy Ghost, sent a woman that was in charge of our case that day, Kathy's case. And that woman spoke life into Kathy. That woman prayed over Kathy. That woman used scripture, prayed over Kathy. Let me tell you something. God's not going to leave you alone. God knows where you are. Amen. He knows where you are, Roy. He's the only one that truly knows where you are and what you're going through. So she ended up taking that kidney out. And it was a bad surgery. Bad surgery. Oh, but listen, God wasn't finished. God wasn't finished. Whatever you're going through, God's not finished. God's not finished. You may feel like, well, where are you, Lord? Where are you? Your soul may be crying out, God, I need you. Where are you in the midst of my storm? Oh, we're crying out. There are people today. You may not verbally be crying out, but from the secret place of your heart, from the secret place of your innermost being, there's a desire inside of you crying out that's louder than the storm you're going through. God says, I'm going to get you through it. Do you believe the Lord today? 12 years without cancer. And when she came through that surgery, oh, it was a struggle getting her back on her feet. But God sent a little African-American lady, a nurse full of the Holy Ghost. Every day she'd come into her room. She'd get her by the arm and say, Mrs. Reynolds, now we got to take our walk with the Lord. We got to take our walk with God. Every day, she'd walk her a little bit, speaking the word of God over her life, praying for every step of the way. Tell me something. Who but God could do such a thing as that? Do you know my God? Do you know my God? Who could only do such a thing as that? Wow. Oh. audacity. You knew I was going to get you. Oh, what storms we go through in life. What storms we've been through in life. Remember I said, you're in a storm. Or you've been in one. And today, you being here ought to be proof enough that the God was faithful to get you through your storm. Will be the God that will continue. He'll do it again. Amen. He'll do it as many times as necessary. God is faithful. In your storm. What was you going through a couple months ago? Through a violent storm in your life, yes. What did the Lord do for you in the midst of your storm?
He was there. He strengthened me in ways that I could never be. It all to God. I mean, I just gave it all to God. That's all I could do. Was that the? I mean, it was the end of it, you know.
So, what you struggled with? What you struggled with? What you struggled with that tried to take your life down is a thing that you knew you didn't need. But out of the midst of your struggle and your storm, you cried out to Jesus, right? And God showed up in the midst of your storm, right? And what did he speak to your storm? Peace be still. Amen. How many knows that God will speak peace in the midst of your storm? I caught her off guard. I know I caught her off guard. Come on, guys. Get real with me. We're winding down here. A storm can be a struggling, crippling addiction. I see people every day. I saw a young man the other day at one of the local restaurants outside on the curb. This man had a hoodie over his head. He was sitting there and he was trying to bury his head in the midst of his storm. His eyes had a hollowness to it, a deepness. You could see pain written all over his life. And he was struggled with some kind of an addiction. But yet, you know, I took a cross and give it to his friend next to him and give it to him. How many knows that the cross changed everything in our lives? Amen? The cross changes everything in our lives. And some of you here, you've been through the storm. You've been through struggling storms like addictions. You've been through struggling storms like divorce and family chaos and struggles and problems in your family and drama. You've been through all kinds of chaos and struggle through your grief and through the pain of the loss of a loved one. God truly and fully, completely understands what you're going through. And God just sent me here today to remind you in this simple message that God is the one who has come to you in your storm. And he wants to calm the troubled sea of your life. Whatever you're going through, God will get you through. I said, whatever you're going through, God will get you through. I'm going to quote something. Wow, thank you, Holy Spirit of God. That's all right, you know it. That's all right, Mary. Amen. 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 You know, I think of Bree and Clay down in Nashville. When all their energy and all their efforts were on the delivery of this little baby that already knew would be born with great difficulties and challenges. But yet, one thing reminded me, one of our midweek services when they weren't here, They messaged me that evening and said, tell Sister Betty, because Sister Betty hadn't got all the final words about her cancer-free situation too. But all the things that they were going through, they said, tell Sister Betty we're praying for. And she's about ready to give birth to a baby. But you know what? We can know the peace in the midst of our storm. And it changes everything about your life. And your greatest testimony is how God brings you through the storm. And you're still standing. You're still standing. You're still praising Him. You're still praying. You're still faithful. You're still trusting God. You're still believing God. Because you know the God that brought you through it will keep getting you through it. Amen. This is one of my favorite powerful scriptures of verse. I've sent it to so many people. Man, I am glad you are here today. I am glad you're here today. Aren't you glad to see this brother here today? Be honest, I'm glad to see everybody. Everybody say Isaiah 43. Now I want you to listen to this carefully. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, as He has formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. Fear not, I bought you, I've redeemed you. I have called you by your name. God knows every person's name in here. He knows every strand of DNA. He knows every atom, molecule, everything that makes up your being. God knows you. He created you. And the Bible says, I've called you by your name. You are mine. They say, I'm His. They'll see some of you in this room that's going through something right now. You don't know that you're the Lord. Because you think the Lord give up on you. You thought the Lord kicked you off His boat, kicked you off His ship. But guess what, friend? God still loves you. God still got a plan. God still got a purpose. So He says here, you're mine. And when you pass through the waters, when you pass through the waters, everybody stay with me for just a few minutes. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. Say, I'll be with you. That's what the Lord told you today. Whatever you're going through, Billy, I'm going to be with you. Listen, you're at a place in your life, Billy, you never thought maybe would come in your life. But you know, when this man who has battled in seasoned wars and battles, him and Sister Juanita together, they've been faithful to God down through the years. They've been a worshiper. They've sought God. They've been about the purpose and plan of God in their life. One of the most powerful, vivid memories I have of Sister Juanita was here one night. The Lord showed up in a mighty way. I believe Sister Willie was here in the middle of this floor. Maybe even Sister Betty. I don't know. But I know Sister Juanita was. And Sister Juanita was dancing and praising the Lord and having herself a good time. I know she's in a troublesome time in her life. She's out there at Heritage. And listen, she's going through, you know, severe challenges with her health and different issues at her age. But there's one thing I know. The God that danced with her that night is still the God that dances over her today. He's not gone anywhere. He's not gone anywhere. He's not going to leave you in your storm. I'll be honest with you. I've had people leave me in my storm. I've had people say, Pastor, oh, man, I'm with you, man. I'm thick. I'm thick. I'm in here. I'm all in. And the storms came. Where are the ones who said, Lord, oh, can we be real? And I know maybe to others, there maybe to some people, they may have thought that I left them in their storm, Grant. But there's one thing I know for sure. God will never leave you, nor will He ever forsake you. He says, when you pass through the waters, I'm going to be with you. And when you go through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. I'm your Savior. I'm your Savior. I'm your salvation. Salvation is of the Lord. Listen, put your trust in God. Yes, it's good to have confidence in men. It's good to, Paul said, to be a follower of me as I am a follower of Christ. But you can't put your total trust and confidence in men, because guess what? The flesh will fail you. Flesh will fail you. But God will never fail you. God will never leave you. He's going to be there through the thick, through the thin. He's going to be there in the midst of your storm. Oh, man. These men, in the midst of their storm, cried out. In the midst of their storm, they cried out. In the midst of their darkness, they cried out. In the midst of their situation, they cried out. But God was with them in the midst of their storm. God had a powerful purpose and plan. And everything that we go through, friend, God's got a powerful plan and purpose. Their lives were in trouble. Job said, men that are born of woman are a few days here, and you got a lot of trouble. That's what Job said. How many's ever been in trouble before? I'm not talking about with your teacher. Maybe you have. But how many's really ever been in trouble? Maybe you've never been on drugs. Maybe you've never been messed up with alcohol. Maybe you've never been messed up with perversions. Or maybe you've never murdered. Or maybe you've never done all these things that we think are the critical areas of sin. But Paul said, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all messed up. We've all struggled. We've all gone through things. We've all been in trouble. And we don't have the time to look at all the storms in this chapter, but this is surely a book of storms, a section in the Word of God about people who go through great storms. People who go through great storms. There's four quick things I want to leave with you here this morning. And honestly, it's going to be quick. It's like getting it just like that. So you better get them down right here. God wants me to remind you of something. There's four things that He wants to remind you that you've got to know about the storm that you're in right now. Know this. Jesus' presence assures us in the midst of our storm. He is here. He is here. He's here, Roy. He's here. He's here. He's here, Kevin. Even when you didn't know he was here. Those men, they were looking so much at the storm, they forgot that the one who could calm the storm was beneath them, fast asleep, laying on a pillow. Sometimes we forget that the very help that we need is more present and more real than the physical people walking around us every day. God is with you. Amen. Somebody shout, amen. God's with you. His presence assures me in that storm. I know when Kathy was going through that, I know that there was a peace that God gave me. I relied upon His Word. I relied upon His Word. I relied upon my relationship with Him. I relied upon talking to Him and listening to Him. Spent hours talking and listening to the Lord, trying to figure things out. When God all the while was right there, closer than He's ever been. Can I remind you that whatever you're going through, God is closer now than any time in your life. Let me say this to you. I know when you think the Lord seems the closest to you. Like this morning during this rocking awesome worship service we had. You say, yes, the Lord is close to us. And He is. But may I remind you, that's not the closest time He is to you in your life. The closest moment He is to your life is in the midst of your storm. And sometimes we don't realize how close He is. He's close enough that all you've got to do is just call out to Him. Call out to Him. Everybody say Jesus. How many knows there's power in that name? I can't figure out why some people are publicly ashamed to say that name, Jesus. I got into trouble a few times in the classroom by saying the name of Jesus. But it was worth it. Because Jesus is a present help in the time of your trouble. Jesus is present, assures us in the storm. I'm here. I'm here. I'm closer than any time. Number two, he also assures us and lets us know that he still has a plan for us. And because you're in the midst of the storm, Clay, doesn't mean that necessarily the ship's going to capsize. And maybe Paul's incident, the ship did fall apart. But guess what? Paul said to hang on with everything in you. Sometimes you feel like your life is falling apart. Sometimes you feel like there's no rhyme or sanity to your life or to your surroundings. And you may feel like your ship is disintegrating. It's falling apart. But sometimes you just got to hang on. Everybody say, hang on. Hang on. Hang on. I heard somebody say one time, when you feel like your life is slipping, just tie a knot on the end of the rope and hang on. How many knows that Jesus is a constant one to hang on to? Where's Kara? Is Kara here? Yes. You've been going through a storm, haven't you, Kara? A little bit. We're being real. Is it okay? You're not bored yet, right? I promise you, this is winding down. The same thing. Is it okay if I be real here? I mean, most people know it. She's got a husband incarcerated. The breadwinner. The stability in her family. But he's incarcerated. She can't be with him and just short visitations. And she has a precious family. She's a nurse. She's a nurse at Pikeville Hospital. And she works hard. And she keeps all of her family together. She's still being the glue. But Colossians 1:17, when we feel like our world's falling apart, guess what? He is the one who adheres us or coheres us and holds us together. Jesus is the super glue in your life. Woo! He's the super glue in your life. He'll hold your life together when it feels like your life is coming apart. He's the only one that can hold you together. So, then she's diagnosed with a heart problem that she's got to go to Knoxville and have heart surgery, open heart surgery, but a less invasive way. Thank God for that. But they're going to prepare that area in her heart. Now they just got news that her son is okay. He's got something similar. Sometimes it seems like one storm comes. You make it through that storm. Then here comes another storm this side, and you make it through that storm. And you think, Lord, when's this stormy season going to end? But God constantly reminds you that my presence is more real with you when you're going through the storm than when you're on the mountaintop shouting hallelujah. God's closer to you now than he's ever been. His presence is real. His presence is real. In the midst of a storm, she keeps texting these powerful words and scriptures, encouraging people, telling people at Lost Creek, I'm praying for you. Corey, the other night at Camp 18, in the midst of his storm, in the midst of his struggle, he was asking about somebody in this church that he'd been praying about. How many knows that God's going to take care of you? Will you believe with this family that God's going to take care of them? If you do that, I want you to give them the most powerful encouragement you can give them right now. Real, 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 real. Carrie, he has a plan. He has a plan. Corey's part of that plan. Jackson and the other kids are part of that plan. God hasn't forgotten about your plan. even when you thought that he'd forgotten about you. He hadn't forgotten about you, Grant. He's got a plan. Say, he has a plan. What was his plan for the disciples? To get them where? Wow. Do we believe the words of Jesus? Guess what? God's plan for us has not changed. Guess what? He's going to get us to the other side. Do we really truly believe that with conviction in our heart today? Are we just saying that because somebody's next to me? He's going to get us there. Billy, he's going to get you there. He's going to get you there to the other side. He's got a plan. I know the plans I have for you, saith the Lord, to give you a future and a hope. An ending here. He's made a promise. He's made a promise that in the midst of this storm, that his power is always available to us to work in our midst. Rick, even when we can't understand it, Jesus still has the power to step in the midst of that sea. So he finally awakened from his sleep and came out where the storm was. Remember, he was right there, very present. But the storm was still raging and the boat was being filled with water and their lives were in jeopardy. They thought, well, the Lord doesn't even care what we're going through. David looked on his left and his right and he said, no man careth for his soul. Have you ever been in a storm so devastating that you didn't think anybody cared that what you were going through or not? Come on, how many's been real? How many's ever gone through something that you wondered if anybody really cared what you were going through or not? Well, let me tell you something. People, we may fall short of showing people we care. And sometimes we do that. But God always cares. He cares for your soul. Amen. He careth for your soul. The scripture said. So his power is available. This morning, in closing, his power is available. And right now, the Lord has come to you in the midst of your storm, in the midst of your trial, in the midst of your struggle, in the midst of your darkness, when your life is in jeopardy, when people around you, you're disheartened, you've come here today, and you needed answers. Well, let me tell you, you come to the right place because God has the right answer for you. What is the answer? All right. 30 people in this room knew the answer. For the rest of you, we got class after class, okay? I said, who's the answer? Do you know that name you spoke? There's power in that name. Power. Power in that name. Power in that name. Not in the power in some political affiliation. There's power in the name of Jesus. You want an antidote for the storm that's brewing in our nation? The answer is not a man. The answer is the one who says, I can. Amen. Jesus. Everybody shout Jesus. So his power is available. And he stepped out on that ship. And he wondered, guys, I've been here all the time. I'm not going anywhere. And he looked out in the face of that storm and said, peace. And there was a calm. A calm. A calm that you could float a child's sailboat on in the midst of that storm. And he's still speaking peace in the storm. Will and Jenny's going through a storm right now. There's a family gathered around Sister Peggy. Lives are in jeopardy. The balance, the frailty of life is very thin. But yet the presence of the Lord is there and he's real. To come in the midst of their storm. Many of you here today, earlier, I asked you to raise your hand. Raise your hand. You said, I'm going through a lot. You know what? If we would all respond, it's important you do two things with this message today. You receive it. And you can The second thing you get to do, you respond to it. And how can I do that, Pastor R? The one who is able and has come to you in the midst of your storm, the one has walked right to you today. He's walking right up to you. In the midst of your storm, said, Mary, I can calm the troubled sea of your heart and your life. So you have to respond. You have to respond. We can't sit there like we've all got it figured out. Come on, you ain't got it all figured out. I don't know anybody that's got it all figured out. Only the Lord knows what you're going through. So today, knowing that, respond in faith and say, God, I believe that you're able to speak peace in the midst of my storm. I believe that your presence, whatever I'm going through right now, will keep me safe in the midst of my storm. In the midst of my storm. And I believe that your power is so real that you have the ability to speak the peace right now in that calm, that sea calm. And I believe, Lord, you still have a plan for me. Even though I may have messed up many times, your plan is still real. Still real. And available today. Many of you raised your hand earlier. This is what I'm going to ask you to do. I'm going to ask you to respond in faith. To believe God. You say, well, there's not a lot of room. I thank God when we're in that new worship center. And the altar area is almost as long as this right here. That whole section. That there will be hundreds and hundreds of people. More than we can attend to. That will come by. You don't call people flocks, do you? Well, sheep flocks, they will come by great numbers, and they'll come in because there'll be a need in their life, and they'll respond to the gospel. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that with all my heart. So, Lord, you know who needs this today. And right now, whatever people are going through, I pray that you touch them. Give them courage right now to respond in faith and believe you. Even in the midst of their storm. Even in the midst of their storm.